I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You're standing in the hallway and a colleague mentions a new initiative. It's well-intentioned, but it feels like a heavy lift. Suddenly, you feel your jaw tighten, your breathing gets a little shallower. It's not that you don't care about the goal. It's that your system is already at capacity. You're caught in that quiet, invisible friction between the school you want to build and the psychological reality of the body you're living in. If that hits close to home for you, let's sit with it together today on Your Morning Boost.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
From the AWB Studios, this is your weekly Morning Boost, brought to you by AWB Education. We are proud to be featured on the Forward Ed Network, advancing voices, shaping education. Let's get ready to boost your week.
Good morning and welcome back to your Morning Boost. I'm so glad you're here with us today. Whether you're just pulling into the parking lot or finishing that last cup of coffee, I truly hope that your morning has started off really well. Now, if you've listened to this show anytime in the previous two seasons, you know that we are a community that values the how and why of school life just as much as the what. We find ourselves today in late January. It's that stretch where the initial energy of the new semester has, frankly, met the reality of the daily grind. In many of our buildings, there's this subtle underlying tension right now. It's the gap between what we know matters, relationships and humanity, and the systems that often reward urgency and compliance instead. All right, to help us navigate that gap, we are joined today by Dr. Lisa Riegel. Lisa is the CEO of the Educational Partnerships Institute and the author of NeuroWell. Now, Dr. Riegel, I'm not going to lie, I don't spend my time translating the complex world of neuroscience and systems theory, but I'm kind of guessing you do, and how we incorporate that into the language of our daily school lives. So I'm really excited about you joining us here on your Morning Boost today. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Now, for our listeners who may not know your work yet or maybe not know a lot about this, how do you describe what it is you do and why does it matter so much in the world of education?
So I work with aligning human systems and policies and like culture. So I started my work when I was doing my doctoral work at Ohio State. I studied leadership and I studied kind of the human system side as opposed to the policy side. And so I started doing consulting with leaders. I worked with teachers on how to engage students. And a lot of the work I was doing was really around social science research. And then about 5 years ago, I really got into the idea that we should be studying this lens of the brain and the neuroscience, because real change starts in the brain. So it can help explain some of those other theories. So I go into schools and I help them set up a culture that is safe, supportive, and proactive.
Oh, that's cool.
And I talk with them about, you know, all behavior, whether it's work behavior or student behavior, staff behavior, just behavior, is really the intersection between biology and context. And so if we understand the biology, then we reframe the problems and we can have a little more empathy when we see somebody struggling. And then we ultimately have control over that context.
Oh, that's awesome. That is really cool stuff. Well, I can't wait to get into this with you. That's a great little start to us. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back, boosters, with more from Dr. Lisa Riegel. So hang on, more on our neuroscience work within education.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Okay, Lisa, you often bridge neuroscience with systems and culture. I'm curious, how did that connection first emerge for you?
So I was doing quite a bit of leadership consulting, and I do a lot of leadership coaching. And what I found was that we would put great plans together and we would have everything organized and ready to go. And then the next time I would check in, it fell apart. And I was like, what's going on here? And so it was really that, you know, I always say policies shape change, but people make change. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of our leadership courses are not really equipping the leaders with the human side of change and how to engage their staff. And so that really got me interested. And then my work with students and teachers in schools, I am the lover of an at-risk student. I just love them and I love working with them and helping them to figure out how to navigate their life more successfully. So I started becoming kind of a behavior person for the schools. And I would go in and talk with them about, you know, again, this biology and context. And so when you understand the biology of the brain, a lot of the behaviors that you're seeing in some of your at-risk students or kids with ADHD, kids with a huge trauma background, you can really explain it through that biology. And it helped to sort of bridge the division between teachers and the students that are driving them crazy because they're misbehaving. That's really where the initial link came from. And then I just went deeper and found like this really is the answer to a whole lot of things.
Yeah. It's really different from that traditional approach. I mean, you have to think about that from, I know the cliche is the outside the box, right? But I mean, that's really what you're talking about. That traditional standard approach that we've used for years just isn't going to work with what you're talking about.
Right. Right. And kids are different today. So the first part of the book talks about how they're, you know, and I keep hearing teachers say that they're just not the same as they used to be, or they're so much harder to work with, or the behaviors are out of control in the younger kids. And it's true. Their brains are developing different. And so the first part of the book, I kind of go through all these different contextual factors that have led to a change in our executive function development, our emotional regulation system. And, you know, for example, media, you know, I grew up watching Little House on the Prairie and Saved by the Bell and shows that were wholesome about you make a mistake and you pay for, you know, you pay it forward to people and you apologize and you do kind. And, you know, kids today grow up in a media environment that's like, hey, Adam, you and I can get together and we can manipulate her and then vote her off the island. Mm-hmm. So it sets up a context in the world where the world is not safe and predictable. It is dangerous and cutthroat. And while that seems like, yeah, it's TV, from a biological standpoint, the way that your brain actually creates perceptions from our reality, there's a part in your brain in your limbic system, and 80% of the traffic in our head is below our nose, and it's unconscious. So there's a whole bunch of thinking going on that the part of us that is us with our morals and character and everything else isn't even privy to those conversations. And so perceptions are formed in the thalamus. And the thalamus is kind of like our data manager. So its job is to look at the environment and say, okay, what do I see coming in? And then it goes into a sensory memory folder and it looks for associations between now and previous experiences to determine whether or not we're in danger. Because the limbic system of the brain is about keeping us alive. So we want to kind of have associations like this is okay, this is not okay, and then respond accordingly. Well, we have these filters or these sensory memories that serve as filters. And I always describe them like a spaghetti strainer. If you have a banana and you shove a banana through a spaghetti strainer, it's still a banana, but it doesn't look like a banana anymore.
Yep.
So when you think of reality and then we have all these different mental filters that it gets filtered through, then it comes out the other side as our perception of reality. And it may or may not. And you and I can be in the exact same event and have a wildly different experience based on how our brain has determined how to align those sensory memories with emotion. So, you know, if you're going to buy a house, your realtor will say, you know, or if you're selling your house, your realtor says, burn a candle that you know, smells like cookies. Mm-hmm. Because when buyers come in unconsciously, again, it's that 80% of the traffic is all outside of our thinking. It's going to align like, hey, this space is a warm, comforting space, and it's going to make you feel like this could be my home. Mm-hmm. Where if you walk in and it smells like sewage, you're not going to have the same impact.
That's really fascinating. And I think from a school leadership standpoint, what you're talking about really tells us that we need to get to that full understanding of all of the why behind it is before we can really react appropriately for our students. It kind of goes back to what we were saying before. It's not that one-size-fits-all approach at all, but even more so than even what it was just a few years ago. I think, you know, I started as a building administrator. I'm not quite at 20 years yet, but it's pretty darn close. Students mm-hmm. that I was working with 20 years ago compared to now, that's a huge difference, huge difference. And so in your experience, when we talk like school leaders, when we're talking about building administrators, principals, what is that most like misunderstood part of human behavior that would be a quick win for us if we're trying to learn something from today that we can directly apply at our buildings?
I think the biggest thing to know is that behavior is not always a choice. Behavior is a choice that we make if our body doesn't dysregulate. Because once that thalamus creates this report of like, this is like that, it sends that information to our amygdala, which is like our security monitor.
Sure.
If the amygdala just taps on the stress button, a message goes immediately to the thinking part of our head that says, hey, you might want to check this out. We're not sure how to react as the body. We're not sure if we're in danger. But if it wails on that button and sends you into a stress reaction, then it sends a message to the CEO that says, hey, go grab a cup of coffee. You're not needed right now because you're in danger. We'll get you out of this. And so when you look at kids who are chronically stressed or chronic behavior problems or always angry, they may not be taking control of the brain. They may have a hijacked brain. And so some of it is, first of all, you can't reason with a kid who's not calm. So being proactive and setting up space that kids can feel a sense of belonging, you know, everything you can do to regulate that nervous system from the moment they walk in. And then when you're talking them through things, I always say, you know, don't talk about what happened. Talk about why it upset them. Because you want to get to the fear beneath the trigger, you know, so it's not just about she yelled at me. Okay, what is it about being yelled at? Because you're going to get yelled at in lots of scenarios. Mm-hmm. So if we can help students gain some self-awareness about these things just dysregulate me, then they can have a little more self-control.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, there is something very deeply grounding about that perspective, I have to say. That's really impressive. And when I hear you talk about understanding behavior as a like a biological response rather than a character flaw, I think it kind of shifts the entire weight of the day for us, honestly, rather than always looking at the, you know, what we did, or like you said, looking at the why behind that and really understanding the why to give us a chance of truly doing what we're out here to do, and is try to help kids grow and try to get better every single day. I hate to say it, when they are, you know, 18 years old and younger, they're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes every single day, and they're going to make a ton of them because they're still learning. They're still developing. And I think the more we understand that it is a mistake and it's something that we can learn from and grow from, the better. I think that's good for us just to kind of sit with that for a little bit. But I mean, every time I think about like resistance and change at school, the way you're talking about that, I mean, really, truly, it is communication. That behavior piece is communicating something. How do we find that? How do we really work to understand what it is that they're trying to tell us?
Right. So I think that there's a couple things that I do. One is really look for that root cause. So I have like a little stress triggers thing that I do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for example, like in my own life, like I hate being late. I hate it. And I know that the reason, it's not the lateness, it's because as a child, I had to wait for my dad to pick me up and he was always late. Okay. So I sat on the front stoop waiting, and my brain associated these negative emotions with time. And so for me, knowing that about myself, if I'm running late, I can take a few deep breaths. I can, and I, my, the boss of my brain can tell my limbic system, my security manager and my data manager, I can say, hey guys, no need to stress out. This is not that. Mm-hmm. And then I can calm my body down, or, you know, proactively, I can put things in place so I'm not in that situation. Like I always tell my clients, if I'm not there 15 minutes early, then I'm like in a ditch somewhere, because I'm always like very conscious about time. So I think some of it is helping kids understand their brain. And I'm a huge proponent of like, teach them about their brain, teach them how it works, teach them how perceptions are formed, teach them how to create new positive filters that dilute. I always say the solution to pollution is dilution. So like the more positive filters you have, those negative ones will never go away. But the more positive ones you have, that confuses your brain so that when the stress starts to happen, it's just going to be tapping that button going, hey, boss, weigh in on how we should feel, because we've got conflicting associations mm-hmm. going on here.
One, I like to just even talking about your self-awareness piece. The staff that I work most closely with in my day job, we've talked a lot about this. We've been studying like the window of tolerance with kids and where kids are at, and you know, and helping them find that window of tolerance again. But really, we learn the best when we start talking about ourselves and understanding that our window of tolerance matters a whole lot for them. Because if we're not in that space, it's really hard for us to expect students to be in that space. And really being self-aware of that, I think, is really neat.
Yeah. Well, and I've had actually a lot of, in the past about 2 years, I've had several clients that have been like, I don't even want you to focus on the students right now. Just my staff yep. is burned out, stressed out. And yep. you don't have regulated classrooms with dysregulated adults. And so really helping them to figure that out. Another exercise I do is called name it, own it, control it. Mm-hmm. And I have people identify, you know, how does your body feel when you're stressed? What does your body look like? And then what does your brain tell you? And it's worded that way because, again, it's this part of our brain. There's all kinds of conversations going on. It's telling us stuff. This isn't you, you know, and so you can kind of separate that. And I always tell kids it's about, you know, just like a CEO at a big corporation, you're not going into the accounting department or the sales department and doing their job. You're making sure that all your departments are running efficiently. And if they aren't, you're going to get them training or support, or you're going to help them grow. You, as a human, you are this little part of your brain up here, this prefrontal cortex. The rest of your brain works for you. So if you're having emotional regulation issues, it's not a character flaw. It's that your departments in your brain need some leadership. So how do we help you lead your brain better? And that kind of separation of character and behavior creates a situation where you're an ally and not an adversary to that kid. So like I even have them name the parts of their brain. Hmm. So like I call my data manager Harold, I call my security guy Bob. And so, you know, I always use the example, like if I were getting really worked up, my teacher could come over and be like, what is Harold telling you right now? Because you seem like you're getting upset. Huh. And do you think there could be another part of the story that Harold's missing? And so, again, it removes that guilt or that I'm dumb or I'm, you know, bad or I'm a bad student or all those things. Yeah. It gives that little bit of space. And so there's a bunch of exercises in the book that you can do to kind of set that up. And the other thing I think is critical is really the foundation is a sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of kids who come to school and don't feel a sense of belonging. And when we don't feel that, just even if you go into a meeting and you look around and you're like, oh, these are not my people. Yep. You shut down. Mm-hmm. Where if you walk in and you're like, these are my people, you're super excited to be there. So how do we create this collective identity and this sense of belonging in the school as a whole and then also in every classroom?
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This segment of your Morning Boost is sponsored by Grundmeier Leader Services. Since 2013, GLS has been a trusted partner for school districts across the Midwest, specializing in executive recruitment and leadership support. They believe that great schools start with great leaders, and they are here to help you find a perfect fit for your district. Transform your school's future with the right leader at the helm. Visit GrundmeierLeaderSearch.com to learn more. Grundmeier Leader Services, transforming education one leader at a time.
Hey, Lisa, let's talk about your signature framework, NeuralWell, okay? How is it different from other culture initiatives or wellness initiatives? There's a lot of them that are out there that many of our educators are used to or using right now. How is it different, and why do so many culture change efforts just fail? I mean, even when we want improvement, it's not uncommon for these efforts to not work out like we intended them to.
Right. Well, I think the problem is that culture is not what we say, it's what we do. And so we have a lot of schools that spend thousands of dollars discussing their culture and making posters and having sayings and doing all of that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, what do I see and what do I hear if I'm living that culture? Because culture is action. And so one of the things that I think makes me a little bit different is that, first of all, I focus on that action and I build like an entire PBIS system around culture, around that action, so it's all coherent. And then the ideas for changing behavior are grounded in brain science. And like, I see a lot of systems right now with positive behavior intervention support, and it becomes just a ticket system. And mm-hmm. It's a pain for the teachers. The kids don't care. Mm-hmm. It's random. It's not purposeful celebration. It's not tied to goal setting. So it becomes a very expensive, exhausting process that really, it just kind of confirms the obvious. Little Susie came to school and she's a great kid. So now she has 450 points. And, you know, Tommy came to school and he comes with a lot of struggles.
Sure.
And we've confirmed that he doesn't get this. So instead of creating that kind of system, I think I really build that science piece. And then the other thing, too, is culture is oftentimes in schools its own silo, separate mm-hmm. from instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Instruction is culture. Mm-hmm. So the two things are, you can't separate them. So NeuroWell goes into, like, how do you create intellectual safety? How do you create supportive environments, not just through your routines, but through your actual teaching, how you assess, how you, you know, work with students in a classroom. And so it kind of becomes, and I always say, I don't want to be an initiative. I'm like, I'm a pair of glasses that you put on to look at the work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
If you have NeuroWell glasses, all of a sudden you see how you can amplify the impact of some of the things that you have done with culture that haven't translated to action, or how you can take instructional strategies and make them work for more students.
Yep. Some of the stuff that I've read of your NeuroWell work, you talk a lot about like soft skills, and we talk about those all the time, those executive functioning skills, self-management, collaboration. You've spent a lot of time on them. Why are they still so undervalued in our systems? And for that reason too, then how can schools intentionally develop these in their students without just reducing people to data points and throwing sticker charts and all of the other stuff, again, like you're talking about? How do we bring more value to those and teach those? Because we know that they're extremely important for overall success of our kids.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. I was actually at a school this week and the high school team wants to do more project-based learning. And we've been talking about, you know, giving kids the thinking skills that they're going to need in a post-AI world, because content isn't king anymore.
Yep.
We got to find the gap with creative thinking, critical thinking. So we sat as a team. They had a late arrival that day. And I asked them to define critical thinking. Define it, and then we could start to put together a rubric that could be a little bit more visible to students about, like, this is what it looks like when you're critically thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're almost there, when you're exceeding there. And in 2 hours, the high school team could not come up with a definition. So I think that's problem number one, is we play word salad with soft skills.
True.
And what is it? Right. So the first thing is really defining what you want. And then I think we measure what matters. And if we measure it, it matters. And we don't have measures that are real. We, you know, PBIS, if I'm in a bad mood, nobody's getting points today. So it's not an accurate, reliable system to see where kids are. And so, you know, figuring out ways that you can insert that kind of like putting a focus on the process of learning as well as the product. So, for example, I worked with an eighth grade science teacher, and she was really into the NASA like five step like scientific method process.
Oh, sure.
And so we talked about, she always had the kids in teams. And she said, I want them to be better at teaming. Like, we put them in teams, but they don't learn how to be a teammate because we don't talk about what that means. So we created a rubric. And at the end of each lab or team assignment, the kids had to fill out a self-assessment of where they were. And then the next time they had a group assignment, they pulled out their old one and they set a goal. This time I'm going to be better at this aspect of teamwork. And so it's kind of that, you know, in the same way we have scopes and sequences and we have diagnostics and we have formative assessments and we have all of this stuff to make sure that kids are getting content, but we don't have things that measure whether they're developing the soft skills.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Okay, as we wrap up our time today, I want to leave you with one thought to carry into the rest of your week, Boosters. Lisa reminded us that our brains are power tools. Even if the best tool, even the best tools we have cannot function if they're overheated or out of power. So this week, you don't have to solve the systemic tensions of modern education. You don't have to fix every culture gap in your building by Friday. Maybe the work this week is simply to notice the biology of your building. And when you see a student struggling to focus, or a colleague who seems unusually quiet, or maybe even when you yourself feel that tightness in your own chest, name it. Just remind yourself this is a nervous system looking for a way to be okay. And there's quiet power in that realization. It doesn't change the deadline or the data point, but it does change how you stand when you face them. And it restores a little bit of the humanity that the system just sometimes tries to shave away. But Lisa, I really appreciate your message today. And before we go, if you could leave our listeners with just one practice that they could start using tomorrow, what might that be?
You know, one thing that I do that has really helped my mood as far as a personal practice they can do is every day I spend at least, you know, 3 or 4 minutes and just laying down. I usually do it in the morning before I get up, and I close my eyes and I visualize the beach because the beach is my happy spot, and I feel my body feeling joy. Huh. And a lot of people don't know what happiness feels like. And so if you stop and feel that joy, then throughout the day, you can close your eyes and you can bring yourself back to that and you can regulate your body. So there's all kinds of ways to do this. But what I will say is that a self-care routine that's intentional for teachers and for students makes all the difference in the world, because it keeps the brain calm and it makes sure that the behavior that we're doing is the product of our thinking mind and not our unthinking mind.
I think too often we think that, oh, I don't have time for that, when really that might be what gives us the time to do everything else that we need to do during the day.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a half hour yoga. It's literally like set your alarm for every 90 minutes and spend 45 seconds taking some breaths, being present, feel your feet on the floor, stretch your neck a little bit, and then get on with your day. So it's just, you know, that repetitive practice calms your body down.
Well, Dr. Riegel, this is just a glimpse into the work that you're doing. I appreciate you sharing that with us today. In the sharing mood, let's make sure we give your information, because I know you would love to be able to connect with more of our listeners out there. How do people get a hold of you? How do they learn more about your work? Where can they go? How do they get in touch with you?
Sure. So I have a website called lisaregal.com. I also have a website called epinstitute.com. So mm-hmm. I work in schools and in businesses. So mm-hmm. if you're a school, the EP Institute one will have a lot of information for you. I do keynotes. I do workshops. My latest book just dropped this week, so it's available on Amazon.
Okay.
And so NeuroWell is kind of the book that explains what we want to happen. And then the aspirations to operations helps us take all those ideas and operationalize them. So it's kind of the how do we make the change. Hmm. So I love working with people. I'm on LinkedIn. You can reach me directly through my website. And, you know, if you're interested in having a conversation or running a book study at your school or doing some leadership training or teacher training, I would love to help.
That's awesome. Well, again, I appreciate you jumping on board with us today. I have an odd feeling this might not be the last time we try to get you on Your Morning Boost, because we just got started in this very complex world that might be one of the best learning pieces we can do to try to help our students succeed. So again, thank you very much for joining us. Boosters, thank you again for spending your time with us. We do certainly appreciate everything that you do for our students and for our community. We'll be back again as we talk with you again next week.
That concludes another episode of Your Morning Boost, an AWB education production. To find more incredible content, be sure to check out other amazing education shows on the Forward Ed Network, where they are truly advancing voices and shaping education. Join us again next week. Until then, keep boosting your impact.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.